You're listening to WWBC Coco Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco Rockledge and W264AS Rockledge Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's
message, like the body of Christ, rather than just standing still, we're able to walk because every part is working as it is supposed to work. Right now I got a knee brace on. I got bad knees. And I know that there are other parts of my body that are compensating for my bad knee. And sometimes it gets gimpy and I'll act like I'm a fall, and other parts of the muscles of my leg will pick up the slack and it keeps me from falling. And there are times in the body of Christ, guys, when we need to grab a hold of some of our brothers because we know and we see them going a different way. We hear their mindset, we hear their conversation, and we know they're getting ready to fall. And the love of Christ says, I need to talk with them. I need to let them know I see something, I hear something. And you're going down a route that's not going to be any good. Let me pull your coat. Let me tell you where you're going. And listen, folk are going to do whatever they're going to do. We all grown, supposed to be. But you still, in love, need to let them know. Because if they're not here, then somebody's got to pick up the slack. And then their part's not going to be done. And on and on and on. And listen, the human body works that way. When we're hurting, it, and other parts of the body picks up the slack, but it's never meant to pick it up forever. And sooner or later, you need to go to the doctor and get that thing straightened out, because the other parts of the body is going to be out of joint, and then your back is going to hurt, and on and on and on. That's so such as it is in the body of Christ. If you're ailing, say you're ailing. If somebody was talking about somebody they knew had committed suicide or something like that, and I hear those horror stories all the time. And a lot of times folk are suffering, they're going through, and they never actually say anything. Because the macho thing is to say, oh man, I'm a man, I'm okay, I'll be all right, I'll get over it. But man, if you need help, say so. And because you're big and strong, don't much mean that there ain't nothing going on inside. And sometimes it's just a matter of you being able to share with somebody some mess that's going on in your head or in your heart, or something you're thinking about doing and you know you really shouldn't. Say something to somebody. Just tell them you're hurting. Tell them to pray for you. And let the Lord do what it needs to be done. Amen? He says in verse 17, this I say therefore, in other words, with everything I've said from verse 1 all the way up to verse 17, I said it therefore, he said, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And he says, in the vanity of their mind. In other words, he's talking about somebody that they think that they are all that. And he's talking about other Gentiles, he's talking about unbelievers. That we don't walk that way anymore. That's how we used to walk. That's how we used to live. And sometimes, even now as believers, we want to stay so close to that mess because we still miss it. But when you stay close to sin, sooner or later, that sin going to jump out and grab you and pull you right back into that same area of sin. I know a lot of guys that got saved and they were drunkards. And they still like to hang in the bar and they'll just drink salsa water or whatever. But sooner or later, man, it's not going to be long because they like being around that atmosphere. It's not going to be long. And somebody will say, come on, man, you can have at least a beer. In fact, I remember somebody saying that to me. In fact, it was my mother. The Lord delivered me from alcohol. And I go over her house. She said, well, you can at least drink a beer. And here's my own mother tempting me, but she wasn't saved at the time, so she didn't know. And I had to let her know, Mom, I can't go there anymore. I'm not that person anymore. And I had to explain that to her. And ultimately, the Lord brought her to faith in Christ as well, and then she understood. But there are some things and some places we should not go because it's going to tempt us to want to go back to that old way of life. If you did drugs, if you smoked crack or shot heroin or drank liquor, you still remember how that made you feel. And that feeling stays in your mind. And if you get close to it, it's going to make you want to go back there again. Amen. He says in verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth," he says, "walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." And he said, even tells us why in verse 18, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated," it says, "from the life of God." In other words, not being part of, if we go back to that old community, it says, "from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them." And he says, why? "Because of the blindness of their heart." And listen, unsaved folk, like my mother offered me beer or something to drink. She didn't know any better. In her mind, you can have a little something and it's okay. But listen, I'm coming from the perspective of a Christian. I know I can't be under the control of no other substance except the Holy Spirit. And I know for me, being an alcoholic, man, one drink ain't going to do nothing. Because a whole gallon wouldn't do nothing. I was still looking for more. And by the way, in regard to whatever your sin was, whatever your addiction was, sin is never satisfied. Man, it wasn't enough liquor in Brevard County to keep me satisfied. And a hangover in the morning, it didn't make no difference. I just start earlier, that's all. And listen, there are millionaires that have spent their fortunes trying to get high, and many times trying to get that first high back, and they never do, man. And the drug dealer don't mind keep selling it to you and selling it to you until ultimately you're just gone. In here and then gone physically, because it takes your life away. He says about those unbelievers having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the heart, the blindness of their heart. They didn't see, didn't know. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over. In other words, he's talking about how we were before we came to Christ and how unbelievers are now. Essentially, we said, hey, sin, where you at? Here I am. What do you want me to do today? And whatever Satan said or his demon said, that's what we did. It says, giving themselves over, it says, unto lasciviousness, which is simply lustful behavior. And guys, we don't just lust in the sexual way. We lust after different things, various things as well. It says, to work uncleanness, it says, with greediness. In other words, we could not get enough. I know I couldn't get enough. I never forget, I was living up north, and man, I'm drunk as a skunk. I'm driving down to the liquor store that I knew was still open on Sunday, and I'm driving, weaving down the road, man. A cop pulls me over, and he said, "Well, where you going?" I said, "Well, I was going down here to the liquor store." And he looked at me, he said, "Don't you think you've had enough?" And in my mind, no, I didn't. But when he said that, man, it made so much sense. I said, "You know, you're probably right. I'm not getting no more drunker. In fact, the only thing I'm going to do is pass out." And so he said, "Look, I'm not going to give you a ticket, but where do you live?" And I told him I lived right up the block. He said, "Turn this thing around and go home." And I went home. And that thing always stuck with me. He said, "Don't you think you had enough?" But sin don't care, man. Sin will keep trying to give it to you. He don't care about me. He didn't care about you. And surely Satan don't care nothing about us. He says, but ye have, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, you just couldn't get enough. But, and this is key in verse 20, Paul says, but ye have not so learned Christ. In other words, with that behavior, we didn't get that from the Lord. We didn't get that from being in church. We surely didn't get that from the Bible. We got that from the world. And we were practicing. In fact, we all, most of us had a on-job training degree in sinfulness. And we could do it, hallelujah, with the best of them. In verse 21, Paul says, if so be that ye have heard him. And he's talking about hearing Christ. And have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. In other words, do we really love the Lord? Do we really? Do we love him more than our pleasures? Do we love him more than our sin? Do we love him more than what we want to do in regard to fulfilling our flesh? And look, most times, I guess in chapel or in church, we can say, yeah. But there are some times, man, when our flesh overrides our spirit, man. And you can say it all you want, but no, you don't. You really don't. And you've allowed your flesh to take preeminence, to take over, and you start walking in the flesh. He says in verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conversation. He's talking about how we used to live, how we used to talk and walk. It says the old man, which is corrupt according, he says, to deceitful lust. He goes on, verse 23, and be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we need to, moment by moment and day by day, allow this word to renew us. Man, that's why we need to be in here every day. And when you have a moment, just throughout the day, just pray to the Lord. Because, man, all kinds of things start coming to your head. You'll have some thing come in here. I had a memory about some woman I used to mess around with, man. And for a split second, I'm sitting there saying, oh, man, I wonder what happened. No. And just like that, the Holy Spirit said, man, get that stuff out of your head. It wasn't no good then. It ain't no good now. And before you know it, I'll be on Facebook trying to find this woman. And God says that's sin. And rather than keep my mind in that mess, I need to keep renewed, being renewed in the likeness of Christ. He says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because that battle, you know it starts here. He says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And look, in essence, he's saying that we can take him off and we can put him on. Depends on who's going to be in charge. Is the spirit man always in charge? If we're honest, we have to say no. And many times, probably more than not, the flesh man, he takes control. If you mad at somebody or angry with somebody, man, and you see them, and all of a sudden, hit one moment, you saying, oh, how I love Jesus, and you see them, there's that dude. Man, I need to go over there and smack him in the face, or whatever it might be. And it'll grab a hold of you, man. And no other place does that mess grab you more so, and I don't know why it is, than when you're driving on the road. That road rage thing is real. And I think because it just sneaks up on you, man. Somebody cuts you off and look, you're not at Daytona. Y'all not really trying to race. But we act like it sometimes when we're on the road, man. We get actually hot. And somebody thought it was a good idea to allow drivers to have guns in the car where road rage is prevalent, especially during rush hour. And then folk, when we read about it every day, somebody will stop and then they shooting. And later on they said, oh man, what have I done? If you didn't have a gun, you wouldn't have done it. But folk do it. And if you didn't have a gun, we'd be fussing and cussing and fighting on the road as well. Which is why we need to stay renewed in Christ and allow him to take every aspect of our life under his control. Amen. He says again, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, he says, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And the neighbor, he's talking about the spiritual community, God. Just tell the truth. And sometimes we don't want to tell the truth because we figure it's going to hurt somebody. Tell the truth. That's one less lie that you have to try to remember. Look, and I always use this as an example. If my wife comes to me with a new dress or a new pair of pants, and she turns around in front of me and says, does this dress make me look fat? I got to be honest. Dress is fine, babe. It'll get me in trouble, but I need to be honest. And try to say it diplomatically, no, the dress is fine, but you know, as we get older, we all putting on a little bit of weight. that kind of way, I'm still going to be in trouble. But I need to go ahead and just, and I'm using that as an example. But we need to simply speak the truth. Amen. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of this, of one another. He's talking about the body of Christ. We are family. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not sin go down upon your wrath. And listen, you have an argument with somebody in here for whatever reason, and y'all arguing, but it's time, it's lights out, you got to go to bed, and you ain't reconciled. You ain't get that thing right. So you go home, you go back to your rock and you're sleeping and you're chewing on this thing and Satan's trying to make it worse than it is. And you wake up in the morning because you hadn't dealt with it. And then you wake up in the morning and see each other looking at. And before you know it, y'all in a tiff, man. Y'all in a spiritual battle or a mind battle. And before you know it, time goes by, you still hadn't gotten that thing right. And then you telling somebody, I can't stand him. He telling somebody, I can't stand him. And ultimately, if you let that thing go on and on, you don't even know why you were mad in the first place. There's some folk who have a mad on for years. Sometimes families, my family, even like the Hatfields and McCoys, that daggone feud was going on for years and years and years. They don't even know how the thing started. But we don't like them, and they don't like us. Even the white-black thing, and we don't like them, and they don't like us. Well, wait a minute. God says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and I don't care who you are or where you're from. If you in Christ, you're my brother. And I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you I love you, and I don't much care who cares about it, because I'm working out of another dichotomy now. I work for Christ, and this is the family of Christ. And if you're in Christ, then you're my brother. And I'm your brother. And if we upset over something, we need to sit down and hash this thing out. And sometimes you got to agree to disagree. Maybe you can't get it straight, but you can get it to a point where you can shake hands. And we don't need to be mad at each other no more, because we're going to drop this thing. Because it's not going to get fixed, at least not right now. Give it to the Lord and just keep right on moving. He says in verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And what he is saying is that when you do that, when you're mad and you keep getting mad, all you're doing is saying, Satan, here, work on me. You're giving place to him for him to get in between the relationship that you have with your brother and sisters in Christ. And before you know it, this thing that turned into something that it never was originally. And Satan loves to see God's family fighting and feuding. And just like your natural family, you argue sometimes, but you're still family in some kind of way. You need to get that thing right, in particular with the family of God. You need to get that right, man. You guys are living in close proximity in here. And then there's going to be some guys that are your partners, and because you mad, they're going to be mad. And then his partner, they mad, and you're going to be mad. And for you know, you got a family feud, man. Of course, you are one family in Christ, correct? Get it right, and don't go to sleep on that thing. He says in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole, it says, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give him, it says, that needeth. And by the way, guys, we steal from God too, don't we? Do we? Whose time are you living on now? It's God's time. Do we give him the time we ought to give him? And listen, we steal in our tithes and offering, our time, our mental time, our Bible reading time, our prayer time. And a lot of times for believers, man, as long as I'm up, I'm just doing what I want to do. But we need to set aside particular time for him. And look, I get it. You guys have chapel in the morning and you have it in the evening. But I'm talking about that personal time. That time when you can get with him and even discuss some things that you're dealing with. Things that you can't really or feel like you can't tell nobody else. Struggles that you're having. You need to give them to him. Give him his time, his due. Because he's given you all of what you need in this life. And by the way, Is tomorrow promised to anybody?
No.
So you need to get closer to the one who knows whether or not you're going to be here tomorrow or not, because he's the one that's in charge of all things. And the closer you get to him, he says he'll draw closer to you as well and begin to tell you and give you some information that before you did not even have. He says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And he's talking about that foul mouth kind of thing, man. And a lot of times folks will be talking around me and they'll start cussing. I say, whoa, man, what are you doing? And I said, oh, excuse my French. I said, number one, we in America. Number two, that ain't French. And number three, you say you know the Lord. You say you love him. And here we are, two brothers talking, just generally talking. And you can't express yourself without cussing like that. And it's just one more thing that we need to give to the Lord. Man, I used to see women who were beautiful. And they would start talking. And because they was cussing and using foul language, man, they made themselves ugly. And he's talking about corrupt communication, man. Sometimes guys want to tell jokes, and nothing wrong with a joke. But, man, why you got to be tell a dirty joke, number one? And number two, why does your joke have to include God or Jesus? I don't joke with that. And we ought not, as believers, joke with that as well. All that filthy communication, we need to leave it where all the rest of it is. In the trash bin, dead, and don't pick it back up to use anymore. He says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good is said to the use of the edifying. In other words, instead of getting with your buddy and you say, I'm just telling you this because I want you to pray. And now you tell them that because you're gossiping and you want to talk about somebody. And rather than trying to tear somebody down, how about we lift them up? Somebody might be struggling with something that we don't even know. And we think it's funny. Maybe they're having some mental issues. We don't know. Maybe we talk about the way they walk because they got something wrong with them. We don't know. No, we don't tear them down. We lift them up. If you want to talk about it and say, hey, so-and-so is struggling, man, we need to put him on our personal prayer list and pray for him. We don't tear him down, but we try to lift him up, and we lift him up to Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 29, it says, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, in other words, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And that grace, he's talking about God's favor. And that's what we have, and we ought to be passing that on to others. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. What we know is that the Holy Spirit is a jealous God. He's God as well. And we ought not be doing or thinking or saying things that's going to grieve him. Guys, wherever you go, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit goes with you. The Bible says if you make your bed in hell, he's right there, and the Holy Spirit is right there inside of you. And listen, many times you're doing something and nobody else sees you, at least you don't think they do. And all of a sudden you start feeling guilty. That guilt is because of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you, man. And wherever you go, he goes with you. Even inside your head, when you're sitting there doing something in your mind that you should not be doing, you're grieving him even then. He goes on in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, and clamor is some folk are just loud and wrong, but they're going to argue over you even though they're wrong, and evil speaking be put away from you. He says, with all malice. In other words, he's talking about that evil desire that we have sometimes. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. And listen, he's talking about Christ tendering our heart, because we can be callous in a whole lot of different and various ways. And we need to let Christ in every single day, every moment of our lives, and let him tender the rough parts of our walk in him. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk. And again, he's talking about how we live in love. as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as sin offering and the sacrifice of God for a sweet smelling savor. And look, God didn't just say he loved us. He proved he loved us. And because he loved us, when he sent his son to die for us, we ought to now live for him. And I get it. Sometimes guys say, man, this thing is hard. I don't know how to do it. No, just let the Lord guide your steps and your language and every aspect of your life. And let him take control, not co-pilot, but let him do the driving. And he's going to take you where he would have you to go. He says in verse 3, but fornication and all, look, uncleanness, all covetousness, and that's craving what's not yours, but you want it anyhow, and that can be anything. It says, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. In other words, you're his. And how somebody sees you and how they hear you, it shouldn't be like it was before. But when they see you or haven't seen you for a long time, they should say, man, you've changed. Because there's a change that goes on in our heart. And if it's has taken place in our heart, it's going to show in our walk here on this earth. A few more verses as he continues, verse 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. And he's talking about convenient for Christians, man. We don't need to be telling dirty jokes or God jokes. He says, but rather giving of thanks. And listen, if you want to talk about your Lord, give him thanks. Tell folk how good he's been to you. Tell him how he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Tell him how the world might have done you wrong, but God has never done me wrong. And in verse 5, he says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, and listen, he's talking about those that go whoring around after women, after men, and sometimes after other gods, because you're going away from the true and living God, that's a whoremonger as well. Nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And what he's talking about, guys, he's not talking about slipping up and messing up from time to time. But he's talking about somebody who says they love the Lord, but their lives are still exactly the same as they've always been. And they can very easily go and get involved in sin. It doesn't even bother them. What he is saying is that your actions or how you live in is showing that you really don't know the God of glory. Or there's a disconnect of some sort. Guys, it looks like I'm out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and stop there. Please remember, I still have this prayer list up here. If somebody needs prayer, you need to come and put your name on the list. We have our dear brother, Kevin, who wanted more information on spiritual gifts, so I had that for him. If you desire that, just put your name on his list and just write gifts. And if it's just prayer, just write prayer. Someone else is getting our emails, so he's getting our sermons and that kind of thing. So if you want that as well, all that's available. All you got to do is put your name on the list. Amen? Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study and this time in which we could look into your book of truth. And Lord, allow you through your spirit to glean for our hearts some truths that will be a blessing to us, Father God. I pray for each and every one of these men. And Lord, wherever they're struggling, Lord, you touch, you bless, you minister, and you heal as you see fit. If someone is struggling somewhere in their life, Father, please don't let them sit on that. Let them open their mouth and ask someone for help. Be with them on this day, Father God. Lift them up and bless them as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp lamp@gmail.com. Be with us.